you're on the front porch where we tackle the tough issues facing West Virginia and Appalachia like you and your friends do on your front porch. Today, we're going to do some yoga on the front porch. We're joined by Sarah Lim. She's an experienced yoga teacher from Barbersville. We'll talk a little bit about what is yoga, what some of the stereotypes West Virginians have about yoga, and the connections between yoga and West Virginia and Appalachian culture. Front Porch is sponsored by the Charleston Gazette Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest news, traffic, and weather alerts. Download it at iTunes or Google Play. I, of course, am Scott Finn, CEO of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and we're joined, as always, by our liberal columnist, Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey there, Scott.
And Lori is absent. AWOL, do you know what's going on with Lori?
I think she's attending a retreat at an ashram right now.
So I think it's goat yoga.
Yeah, I think
she's doing goat yoga right now.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of yoga, we're joined by Sarah Lim. Hey, Sarah, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Rick was saying, you've got to have Sarah on. She's funny, she's smart, and she has a really unique perspective on things.
First of all, Sarah, I think you have a really interesting story about how you came to it and where it got real for you. Could you tell a little bit about that?
It got real when I was in the service. So I had discovered yoga when I was in university, and I joined the service right after graduating. And I was deployed right away to Iraq, and I did a total of 3 tours while I was over there. And our first tour was, you know, incoming was every other day, every day, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. And over time, that wears on the body, that wears on the mind, and that wears on your just ability to function.
And what was your job in the service?
I was a medic in the Army.
Yeah.
And so we were a level 1 trauma team. And so the medic, right, which goes out onto the front lines, someone gets injured, they bring him to us. So we're literally the ones that are continuing to stop the bleeding and create, get the airway back and those kind of things. So we see pretty bad things because the moment from the battlefield to the trauma center is minutes. And so you're seeing the worst of the worst. And this is every day. Plus, the enemy is trying to bomb you. And then casualties aren't just one and then you have a break. I mean, they're like 5 at a time because the entire truck got exploded, you know, and things like that. So my experience of yoga and my wanting to help people, it has to start with keeping you sane, right? In the service, it's, are you mission ready? And if you're not mission ready, then there's a problem and you can't carry on the mission, right? And so if we're not right in our minds, we're not sleeping, we're hurting, our bodies are hurting, we can't even bend over to go to the bathroom because we just got thrown from a truck and but we're not injured enough to go home. We have to stay. What do we do?
Sarah, did you get started with yoga there then, or did that inspire you to get started later?
I started teaching there. So there's in the world of yoga, there's this process where you go through to become a teacher. Well, if you practice, the other side of it is you practice what you know. And to me, I knew after 5 years of already being a practitioner that this stuff works. And I think that I have the ability to share it and to help people get through what they're going through. And so I started in 2004, I started teaching and helping people with sleep, with yoga nidra, which is just a yogic sleep, and other movement practices, things to heal their bodies from trauma. And, you know, there was a program that I started with the doctors that were there. There was just a yoga therapy and osteopathic program that we put together that the osteopath would see the patient, tell them exactly what's going on, and then I would help them recover. So it was like physical therapy on a yoga perspective because I'm not a physical therapist. But it was amazing. And the turnaround and the amount of people that were able to go back and be mission ready, and people were able to sleep through the night, and traumas were smoother. Our team were able to care for the people, right? Because it's not about us, it's about them. And so if we're not right, we can't help them. And so the yoga was what I used to help them so that we would heal and treat soldiers.
Do you find people have misconceptions about what yoga is here in West Virginia?
Absolutely, because what you see is not what it is. You're seeing one very, very small aspect of the much bigger picture. It's kind of like looking at one very, very small, minute aspect of the budget and not understanding the whole thing. And so that's why anything in the world can be complicated. People stay out of politics for a reason, right? They stay out of yoga for a reason, right? Is they don't get the whole picture.
Well, what is the misconception that you find people have?
So the misconception is it's just about being bendy. You have to be bendy in order to, you've got to be skinny and you have to be young and you have to be a woman, right? You have to be able to put your foot behind your head and stand on one hand, or maybe you need to find that place where you can not move for hours, right? There's these extremes. There's no, remember, you're outside your window of tolerance. So you've got this big extreme, and how do you normalize it, right? And so that's where the understanding of, you can't look at the Yoga Journal magazine, right? You can't look at that, you know, fancy clad skinny female walking into the yoga studio. It's not it. Right. And then how do we get past that? We need to make it to where the media sees it differently.
Well, hey, we do a thing here on the front porch where in the past, Rick, we've been asking you for a Bible verse.
I've got one.
Well, and my wife was saying, why is it always a Bible verse you're asking for? Half the time Rick gives you something else besides a Bible verse anyway. We need to come up with like a different thing.
Okay.
You know,
you want like a Buddhist sutra or Tao Te Ching?
Just like Rick's words of wisdom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need something suitably cheesy to describe what you're going to do at the end of the show.
Well, I do have, if you don't mind, like there is a English Bible translation of a Bible verse where Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And English and Sanskrit are both descended from Proto-Indo-European, and yoke and yoga actually come from the same word, mm-hmm. which means to unite or put together. So, yeah.
So what? Wow, let's think about that one for a second.
Yuge to yoke.
So, why is yoke and yoga? Why is that the same thing? I don't get it.
Yoga means
to
union.
Join.
So it's
but joins. When you think of a yoke, you think of something that's on your shoulders you have to carry.
But it's light.
Well, maybe there's something to it because yoga, it's not just easy, right?
Right. It's to bring together. So usually with the yoke, you have two ox, right, together. And they have to work together as a team in order to make it work. Yoga does not work on its own. You have to be with it. And when you join together and you use the principles of the yoga, that's when it works. And so yuge means to yoke. That's right in Sanskrit. And the Atta Yoga Nishasanam is now the most auspicious teachings of yoga have begun. Atta, now. And so when you have that option, that joining, that together, you're already doing it. That's number one. And so that's where yuge comes in and the meaning of yoga.
All right. That is Sarah Lim. She's a yoga teacher from Barboursville, West Virginia. Very interesting conversation today. Thanks for coming on the Front Porch. Really
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's the Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn with Rick Wilson. Thanks for listening.